As a practical matter, the general practice of Batei Din, both in America and Eretz Yisrael, around the world, is that any time there is a marriage between a Jewish man and a Jewish woman, whatever the circumstances of them getting married was, we require the issuance of a get upon dissolution of that marriage. Under certain circumstances, where a get is impossible to procure, that makes us go back to the Ikar Din question as to under what circumstances is a get really necessary and what circumstances do we just require it, so to speak, l'chumra. So in situations where there is a civil marriage without a halachic marriage or a marriage performed by non-Orthodox clergymen, we have to ask the question, what is the Ikar Din requirement or lack of requirement for issuance of a get under those circumstances? It's relevant to situations where a get is not forthcoming. It's relevant to situations of mamzeris, potentially, where you had a product of a second marriage, where the first marriage was performed in a non-halachic fashion and ended without a get, so we have to analyze the status of the progeny of the second marriage. That there the stakes are a little bit lower, because we assume that min ha-Torah, savik mamzer is mutter, as opposed to if we're going to be mater, a woman to remarry without a get, we're talking about a chi of kares avashis ish. We'll talk more about the mamzeris aspect in next week's year. But what I'd like to focus on today is, what is that Ikar Din status of civil marriages or non-halachic marriages? So we have a concept that the Gemara introduces us to in Gittin and Daf Pei Aleph. The Mishnah there has that a megarishes ishta velani mo bepundiki, if a person divorces his wife and then they live together in some context, machlokas beshame beshilo, whether we require a get. Why do we require a get according to beshilo? So the Gemara says that hein hein eide yichud, hein hein eide bia. The presumption is that if we know that they were living together under one roof for some amount of time, so we assume if they were miyachi together, hein hein edibia, and einam adam osa bilas abilas nus. We have a chazaka that if people live together, so the presumption is that they're not interested in doing l'shem's nus. There must be an implicit understanding that it's l'shem kiddushin. The machlokas rishonim, how broadly do we apply this notion of hein hein ediyichud, hein hein edibia, and einam adam osa bilaso vilessness, such that even if we would have the marriage ceremony where the ceremony is not halachically valid either because it's a totally civil ceremony, it was performed not in the presence of kosher witnesses, performed by a non-Orthodox clergyman who didn't know what he's doing, but bottom line, they're living together afterwards as husband and wife, do we say eino demosa vilessa vilessness, and that would create a de facto halachically recognizable kiddushin. So the position of the Gaonim, quoting the Rambam here in the third source, Rambam Hilchos Gerushin Perek Yud Halacha Yud Ches Halacha Yud Tes, is that any consensual relationship, even without any intent to marry, creates this situation of Ein Adam Osa Bilasa Bilas Nus. So in essence, anytime you have even real Nus, we still say Ein Adam Osa Bilasa Bilas Nus. That's the extreme position of the Gaonim. The Rambam argues to the other extreme, that the only time we have this notion of hein hein eide yichud, hein hein eide bia, and ein adam osi bilasa bilas nus, is in this context of a grusha where there already was a significant relationship beforehand, so the bar, so to speak, is lower for what's considered an implicit kiddushin. And the Rama, lahalacha, has perhaps a middle position, the Rama in Evan Ezer, Stimin Lama Gimel, Seif Aleph, that where someone is huchzak lesnus, where someone is presumed to act in a immoral fashion, so then you don't say this chazaka, you can assume that they're living together business. But if a person doesn't have that general orientation, so then we have the right to assume that ein adam osa bilasa bilas nus, and the living together in a context of husband and wife is enough to create a de facto halachic kiddushin. So in the context of civil marriage in America, we know this issue most famously is a machlokas between Rav Moshe and Rav Henkin, even though it's really an issue discussed earlier by the Rishonim. As we assume, Rav Henkin is generally the minority opinion, Rav Moshe is reflective of the majority opinion, as we'll explain. But this is really an issue that's addressed already in the Rishonim and reflected in Shulchan Aruch. There's the Tshuva of the Rivash, Simon Vav, here in Mar Makom number 4. The Rivash is talking about a situation from the Anusim, from the Meranos, where people were living in the community of Anusim, and a certain couple had a church wedding ceremony. Then the husband disappeared, couldn't be located, there's no possibility of procuring a get. So the question was whether the marriage that took place in the church was enough of a halakhically recognizable marriage that would have required a get, even under these circumstances of Egon, where a get was impossible to procure, where the husband was totally AWOL. So the Rivash has a number of arguments here to explain why he thinks a get is not necessary. Number one, in a situation where you're getting married in the church with the Komer, so then you can't argue that there's an intention that the Kedushin should be Kedas Moshe of Yisrael. That's clearly not what's going on. You got married in a church. So even if they're living together afterwards, that was all a daita d'hachi of the original church ceremony, you can't argue that Deina d'mosa b'ilaso b'ilasnos. And furthermore, he argues that under these circumstances, we know that this woman wasn't concerned about Taharas HaMishpacha, so she wasn't concerned about the Isser Nida, the Isser Kares. So if she already demonstrates that she's not concerned about the Isser Kares, the Isser Nida, so why should we assume that she's not concerned about the Isser Pani Ala Pnuya? She doesn't care about the Isser Kares, the Isser Pani Ala Pnuya is a lower level Isser. So you don't have the right to assume that Ein Adamos Bilasa Bilasnos. And then he says, even if you could argue that a church ceremony could be an acceptable form of Kiddushin post facto, but there are clearly no kosher Edom there, Kiddushin has to be Bifnei Edom. Kiddushin without Edom, even Bifnei Erechad, Min HaTorah is nothing. So here, all the people present were from the same community of Anusim, and there was clearly no kosher Edom. For these reasons, Rivash argues that under the circumstances, Lichachil, if possible, even where they got married in a church, they should get a get. But if a get is impossible to procure, so then, under those circumstances, you could be makel to allow the woman to remarry, even without a get. So this Rivash is quoted lahalacha both by the Mechaber and the Ramah in different places. If you look at sources number 5 and number 6, the Ramah in Simon Kafav in Eben Ezer and the Mechaber in Simon Kuf Mentes in Eben Ezer both quote the Rivash lahalacha, that we're not concerned, Mishum Kiddushin, in these circumstances where you have a Mumer who gets married in the context of a wedding of Mumer. Okay. So what was Rav Henkin's argument that a civil marriage requires a get even under extreme circumstances? So Rav Henkin argues in the Perush Ivra, the Lev Ivra, and the Perush Ivra is included in the first volume of Kisvei HaRav Henkin. There's a little excerpt of it here, of one of his other Chiburim in the Mar Mekomos, the number 7 and 8. But Rav Henkin argued that there are different kinds of kinyan that we find in Halacha. There are certain kinyanim that are classic kinyanim that require kavana to kinyan Mashicha, kinyan Hagba, kinyan Kesef, all these classic kinds of kinyanim require kavana. If you don't have kavana to acquire the object, so the fact that you lift it up is meaningless. However, there are other kinyanim that do not require kavana. We have a notion that chaser shalad mekona shalomi daito. Now you have a kinyan chaser, even if you don't have active knowledge that your chaser should acquire something on your behalf, that kinyan still could be sometimes effective. And Rav Henkin develops the idea that there are certain natural kinyanim, certain kinyanim that are part of society, where everyone understands that a certain action affects a kinyan even without active kavanah. So he argues that a couple living together as husband and wife in a marital context affects a natural kinyan. It does require specific kavanah for the kinyan to be effective. So even if there was no halachically valid ceremony, there was a civil marriage ceremony in the presence of a justice of the peace, and there are no kasher edim, there's no mesiras hatabas, but the fact that they're living together as husband and wife creates a certain social, natural kinyan that has halachic context. You can read Justice Scalia's dissent from last week to see similar ideas. Then he also has another notion that he develops that you have in the excerpt here, number 7, that even if you could argue, strictly speaking, that halachically you don't require a get, he's worried about the ramifications of broadcasting that too broadly. Because if people are going to realize that if you have a civil marriage, you don't require a get, but if you have a halachic marriage and you require a get, then people are going to stop getting married halachically and they'll only get married civilly. So that was, there were always, in the last 150 years, there were such movements to encourage non-halachic marriage to solve the Igun problem. So he argues that if you're going to broadcast such a position, so then that's going to lead to the decline of halachic marriage. We'll see a bit later how one could potentially argue that back in the other direction. Rav Henkin notably does acknowledge, that's in the second paragraph here, number 7, that in certain societies this notion of natural kinyan that doesn't require kavana didn't apply. So he writes that in communist Russia, the notion of marriage there was different than the standard societal notion of marriage. There wasn't the same notion of an exclusive relationship between husband and wife. And therefore he thinks that if you had a civil marriage under the communist regime in Russia, So that would not, if push comes to shove, require a get because of this different conception of a non-exclusive relationship. So this is known as Rav Henkin's position. I think about 20 years ago, probably, I heard a tape of Rabbi Friend, in which he told the story that the Sof Yomov, Rav Henkin was, basically couldn't see, and he was not in the best of shape. So Rabbi Friend, if I recall correctly, went to visit him, and even though he wasn't fully conscious of what he was talking about, he kept on saying the pizman, that Rav Henkin kept on saying in Yiddish, that you can't eat before tkiyas, and the woman needs a get. His two big issues were not to eat before tkiyas on Rosh Hashanah, and that you need a get where you have a civil marriage. So he was known for that position. But as you see, even Rav Moshe was very deferential and tried to accommodate Rav Henkin's position wherever possible. In Eretz Yisrael, when they have Piskei Halacha and the Piskei Din Rabbanim about situations of civil marriage and issuing a heter nesuin where it's impossible to procure a get, so they quote a Rogachev, which I don't recall everything inside, but they quote from the Rogachev a slightly different notion that the Rambam tells us in the beginning of Hilchos Ishus that before Matan Torah, Adam Pogei Isha B'Shuk, so there is a pre-Matan Torah model of how you affect Kedushin, and then we have a new Torah concept of Kedushin. But that pre-Matan Torah model was never totally obliterated. So even if a person still wanted to enter into a marital relationship based on the pre-Matan Torah model, that may still have a halachic significance. Something along those lines, again, I don't recall seeing it inside, but I think they quote that in the Piskei Din in Eretz Yisrael. The Dvar Vam, the Kavna Rav, here in Marmaka number 8, Chela Gimel Simin Kavtes, so he references this position and attributes it to Rav Henkin, who was already in America at the time. But he argues that when it comes to civil marriage, the fact that a person dafka goes to have a civil marriage as opposed to a halachic marriage indicates that your intent is dafka not to have a halachic marriage. If you want a halachic marriage, you go to the rabbi. If you're going to the justice of the peace, that's because you dafka don't want a halachic marriage, and you don't have the intent to marry halachically, you don't have the intent to divorce halachically, and you wouldn't require a get. A Rav Moshe's basic orientation in a number of tshuvas, you have some of them excerpted here, there are many others as well, is that the bottom line, we do paskin like the Rivash and Shulchan Aruch, so if push comes to shove, you can rely on the Rivash that we don't say Ein on the Mosa Bilas Avilas Nus for people who are not religious. So even in a situation where you had someone who underwent a non-religious, non-halachic ceremony and then were married, even if they're living in a Jewish neighborhood where you have kosher edim who see them living together as husband and wife, and you would have said, hey, nein, yichud, hey, nein, edibi, and edim, adam, osi, bilas, bilas, nus, if push comes to shove, by people who don't live a halachic lifestyle, we assume that that doesn't necessarily create de facto halachic kedushin. He does point out, in the first tshuva here, in Evanezer Chelik Aleph Sim and Ayin Hay, that the Rivashi's equation with Hilchos Nida isn't necessarily obvious. You could say the Rivash had said that if you have someone who's not makban entire some mishpacha doesn't go to the mikvah, so if they're not concerned about Isser Dida Hachamor, so why can you can't assume that they're concerned about the Isser Panayah Bala Panuya? So Moshe says you could be mechalik. There are in a society where even people who identify as observant Jews don't all aren't all makbid on Tyrus and Mishpacha, or in a situation where it's difficult to find a mikvah, so one could argue that for whatever reason they're not makbid on Tyrus and Mishpacha, but if it's possible to have a halachically valid marriage, they would want to do that, and you wouldn't automatically say that we totally dismiss the notion of Ein Adam Osa Bilas Bilas Nus without qualification. In his analysis of the status of Reform and Conservative weddings, Rav Moshe in different places points out that sometimes, in some ways it could be better, in some ways it could be worse than civil marriage. So on the one hand, even if you have a non-halachic, a conservative or Reform officiant, lemaisa, if you have a Mesiras HaTabas, where you say, Harei HaMekudesh Yisli B'Tabazu, in front of two kosher edim, so that should be halachic valid kedushin, irrespective of who the Masada Kedushin is. The Masada Kedushin doesn't have any standing per se to affect the halachically valid nature of that Kedushin where there are proper kosher edim. On the other hand, where there is a non-Orthodox clergyman officiating, so you can't necessarily assume that things are done properly just because he had a rabbi officiating. So as opposed to the, we'll see a little bit later, Tshuva L'Chas and Sofer, that even if there were designated Edim under the Chuppah, and it turns out that one of the Edim is a Karev Apostle, you have the right to assume that you can rely on the other Kosher Edim because there's an Anansadi that everything was done properly, so that wouldn't apply necessarily to a wedding performed by a non-Orthodox clergyman. We'll come back to that a little bit later. But in another sense, Moshe argues that it may be worse than a civil marriage, along the lines of what we quoted from the Dvar Vam. You have two Shomer Shabbos people there at the wedding. You don't assume, but if you have knowledge that was the case, in a situation where you know that to have been the case, that would require, if you know that, correct, if you know that to be the case, then that would be, so without any knowledge, you have to do the research. You can't necessarily make assumptions. You definitely can't assume that it was done properly, but you have to do the research. So when we have these situations, we do a lot of research. We try to look at pictures and videos and guest lists and documents and interviews to figure out what the facts were. So Moshe argues, on the other hand, that a non-halachic marriage may be worse than a civil marriage in the following sense. If you have the marmakomos, chelik aleph, simin, ayin, vav, chelik gimel, simin, kaf, hein, kaf, zayin. That if a person goes to a justice of the peace for civil marriage, they may have the mindset that this is a civil wedding, and then when I go home and live together with my wife, so that's going to be the Jewish wedding. As opposed to if you go to a Reform clergyman, so you're dafka going to the Reform rabbi, and you don't intend that your subsequent living together is going to be of halachic nature. So it could be that the adaita d'hachi, or the connection, where you have a Reform officiant, it may be worse in that sense than a civil marriage. Moshe also raises the issue of whether a double ring ceremony indicates the lack of halachic validity of a wedding. That's another possible consideration, because that's there isn't proper das kedushin if you have a double ring ceremony. And then Moshe has another argument which is relevant under certain circumstances. Let's say you have a conservative rabbi officiated at the wedding, and the two edim are the conservative rabbi and someone else who we discovered to have been a Shomer Shabbos. Let's say the conservative rabbi is a Shomer Shabbos, but the fact that he's a conservative rabbi, Ramosha argues, may passel him le'edus anyway. So even Ramosha writes, chelik dalet simin yud gimel, chelik dalet simin mem vav, even if you have the best of the conservative rabbis, someone who doesn't write the shul on Shabbos, he eats kosher totally, he may still be considered a pasul because he's a member of a movement that is antithetical to Torah value, a member of a movement that looks to nullify mitzvahs, to not represent the halacha properly. So he thinks he might be a kofir, and even if you do it for panasa reasons, he still might be a kofir. So that's something to take into consideration. We don't necessarily always accept that lock, stock, and barrel. But together with other snifim, that's something to consider. It's relevant, let's say, in a geirus context also. You have a geirus that was done properly, and one of the members of the Beis Din was a Shomer Shabbos conservative rabbi, serving a conservative congregation. So is he a pasul be'etzem? So Moshe raises the question, the idea that maybe he is. What about a situation where you have Eidei Kedushin, and you determine that one of the Eidei Kedushin is a Karev Apostle, but you have other people in the who are present who weren't designated as Eidei Kedushin who are Ksherim. So what's the status of a wedding performed under those circumstances? So we all know the Gemara in Makos and Davav, where the Gemara raises the question of Mayasu Shneyachem Shira Bechash Haragas and Nefesh. If you have this notion of Nimsech a Karev Apostle, and you have a Kas of Eidim, one of them is determined to be a Karev Apostle, that apostles the entire Kas. So does that mean that anytime you have two relatives who see something, so then there's no possibility of edus on that situation? So Gemara answers, there's a difference between lemechsi asu and lasude asu, that if they're coming to say edus, that's the intent, so then we're concerned about nimsachem and karva pasli dusam betela. If they're just coming to watch, but not to say edus, so then we say mayasu shneyachin shiro be'echa shaharagasa nefesh. Tosus there in Makkos, and also in Bava Basra Kuf Yudalid, notes in this context that you have to say that it depends on what the kavana is, because otherwise, if it doesn't depend on the kavana of the Edom, the Tosis writes, "Gila te mahachi en lecha ge'a kasher kishinosim if tekroven." So we don't have a rule that you're not allowed to bring your relatives with you to a get. So what's going to happen if you have a karev in the room at the Mesiras HaGet? He's going to apostle the get. Or kedushin in this kavna lahai. So you have, we don't say you can't bring your relatives to your wedding. So what are you going to do about the fact that there so must be that if the intent is not to say edus, so then that doesn't automatically pasul. There is a famous position of the Ritva, who quotes from the Ra, Kiddusha Mem Gimel, that the fourth line in, Kol hecha sheish ba'osa ma'amit k'sherim ipsulim okrovim sarach li'achid eide kedushin, that if you have sherim and psulim together, so you have to designate the eide kedushin. He quotes that from the Ra'ah. He says, but that's not the Asam Mefarshim, that's not the generally accepted position, even though it is Ra'oi Lachmir. So designating the Kedusha doesn't necessarily mean they'll use the Lashon of the Rav, Rebar, and Salvechik up to the exclusion of all others. Just saying who the Eid Kedusha are would presumably constitute Yichud Eidim for this purpose. What do we assume Lahalacha? So if you look in Evan Ezra Simon Membez, so first we pass in the Shulchan Aruch that in the Kiddush b'fnei Eidim afilu lo amartem Eidim mekudeshes. If you're mekadesh in front of two Eidim, even if you're not miyachid Eidim, the Kedushin is a valid Kedushin. Fine, the Ramah says, afilu yichid Eidim yicholim achayim shiroa maisa lahayit. Even if you're miyachid Eidim, so other people who saw the maisa are still kosher to say Eidus. Okay. So, we had a case a number of years ago, a complicated situation in which there was no possibility of procuring a get. The husband was totally uncooperative, was dragging on for years. And then some good Samaritan, rabbi, decided he wanted to help this woman. He did a lot of research and he discovered that the rabbi who officiated at the wedding was an Orthodox rabbi, proper Orthodox rabbi, and he had the practice of being miyachid edim. He may even have said to the exclusion of all others, not sure. I think he did. And one of the edim that he was miyachid, turns out, was a mechal Shabbos. So they did the research and they got proper edim. They had people come and testify in front of Beis Din that this person at that time was a mechal Shabbos. But the rabbi himself was a kosher edim, and there were a lot of other kosher edim there. So do you say in that situation that where one of the edim turned out to be a apostle, so then the Kedushin is invalid? So the Ramah sounds like that. The Ramah says, even if you're Meyachid Eidim, so Yecholim Achayim Shirah Ma'isa Lahayim. Rav Avadya is very into the Tshuva of the Marivayil, which is quoted in the Berhetiv in Stimon Membeis. Rav Avadya has a number of Tshuvas in which for the consequence of Mamzerus, which as we started with, is less severe than the issue of Eishes Ish, is willing to rely on this Marivayil. The Marivayil basically says, as he was asked about a situation where there were two Edim under the chuppah, it turned out that the Edim were kroven to each other, but there were other kosher Edim who were present. So the Marivayil Paskins, in this case, Simon Zayin, quoted by the Berhetiv in Simon Membeis of Katan Yudalid, that under those circumstances, it would be advisable to redo the wedding, because even if there are other kosher edim present, if one of the edim yuchadim is pasul, so then you'd say nimsach akav pasul edusan b'teila. So there is a way of fitting that in with the Ramah, but the pashup shah, the way it's presented in the Berhetiv, is that that's against the Ramah. And the Tzad Shekineged always quotes the Tshuva of the Chasim Sofer. Evan Ezra Simon Kuf quoted there in the Pesach Tshuva, Simon Medei, the Chasim Sofer is talking about a similar case where it turned out that one of the edim was a karav, the edim or krovim, and the Chazan Sofer there assumes that it's not really necessary to redo the Kedushin, even though maybe a person would want to, because you have the right to rely on the other edim who are present, who are kasher, as a day Kedushin. So Rav Avadya has a number of tshuvas in which he argues that the Marivayil is really the Mar Malkum of record, and all the Rishonim really hold like him, and the Chasim Sofer is a Das Yachid, and we have the right to assimilate the Marivayil. So in all the tshuvas written in the Abi Omer, as far as we could tell, he was always quoting the Marivayil in the context of Mamzer's question, which is a lower stakes question, on the context of an Isser Eishes Ish. So at the time, I corresponded with Rav Avadya's grandson, Rabbi Avadya Yosef Toledano, who was very helpful for us. He's prolific. He's my age. He's a prolific writer. He's written many svarim by this point. He just came out with the volume of Tshuvas a couple of years ago, including, I think, the Tshuva on this case. So we had a number of cases where we sent it to him, and he wrote up a nice Tshuva, and then he sent it to his grandfather to write his Haskamah. So in this particular case, the way it presented the Shailu was, would Rav Avadya hold that even the Inyan Eishes Ish, you rely on this Mari Vayil and could be Matir, the one without a get? So he did the research, he wrote it up, he showed it to his grandfather. His grandfather wrote that, he holds like the Mari Vayil straight. And then it came back to us. We still weren't comfortable because our tradition is like the Chasson Sofer, and our tradition is that we're not going to apostle on that basis. And then when the word got back to the Yosef family that we weren't willing to accept the Psak, so Rav Avadya wrote a personal letter to Rabbi Willig saying that I stand behind the Psak and you should allow the woman to get remarried. So that's a situation where you had Eidim designated, where one of them turned out to be a Pasul Eid. What about a situation where you have two Eidim that were designated that were Kosher Eidim, but there are other Psulim present? So, based on everything we've seen, it seems like, obviously, there's something to talk about that was a properly valid Kedusha. So in the recent months, there was a very funny Psak issued by a certain new Besdin, which basically said that in a situation where get was impossible to procure, where there was an Orthodox rabbi who wasn't miyached edim, which I understand to mean he didn't say to the exclusion of all others, but he had two edim under the chuppah, and there were kosher edim, but there were other krovim present, so they were mad to the women to remarry because there were other krovim present. And they quoted the Ritva, and they said, and there are other achronim who support the Ritva, at least from Malkum Igun. So they quoted Tzitz Eliezer, Chelechess Himalamed Zayin. So Tzitz Eliezer quotes the Ritva, but he quotes it as a sniff after, in a case where there was a marriage performed in the presence by a non-halacha clergyman with other Pasul Eidim, and they're non-religious people, so you have many reasons to be matur. And then he throws in at the end, there's a fourth or fifth sniff, that yeah, you also have the Ritva, that even if they were kosher Eidim, if there were other Krovim Psulim present, that would passel. But that has nothing to do with what they're talking about. So that's a problem. So even in the case where one of the Eidim is found to be possible, one of the Eidim Yichadim, it's questionable whether the Gedolim who have relied on the Mari Vayil, but it's questionable whether it's a matter of practice, it's so pasha to rely on the Mari Vayil. These are some of the situations that we sometimes have to deal with.